want your soul.
I met my ex-girlfriend Catherine about 2.5 years ago. We worked in the same office building and would bump into each other from time to time and have a chat. After going back and forth for a couple weeks, talking during lunch and coffee breaks, we started dating. I fell in love with her very early on. She was a kind, compassionate, and humble person, and always seems to radiate this positive energy that would make even the gloomiest person smile. Now, one important aspect of Catherine's life was her religion. She and her whole family are part of a religious group called the Followers, which is short from the Followers of Prophet Martin. Never heard of it, but whatever. These days, it's like there's a new religion popping out every day. This never really raised any concerns with me, because she never was judgmental or vindictive to others, regardless of their beliefs. At least not that I knew of. Now, the one thing I was skeptical about was that they zealously followed a human prophet who was supposedly able to communicate with God, but ultimately I didn't care, as long as it didn't cause any issues between us. Like not being able to have sex before marriage. She respected my beliefs and I respected hers, whatever they may be. About a month into dating, I met her parents. Catherine was, in every sense of the word, a reflection of her parents, kind, hospitable, and treated me like their own family member right from the start. This was the day when I started having some serious doubts about dating an over-religious person, though. "So," Catherine tells us, "you met at work?" the dad said and smiled while we were sitting at the dinner table. "Yeah, that's right, we work in the same building and..." "Here comes dinner." Catherine's mom waltzed into the dining room, setting down a platter with roasted chicken and potatoes. "I hope you enjoy the dinner." The father spoke again. "We usually try to eat frugally out of respect to Prophet Martin, but tonight's a special occasion." I looked at him and gave him a vague smile. "Let's pray so we can start eating," Catherine said, and before I realized what was going on, both of my hands were grabbed. Catherine on one end and her mom on the other. All three of them held their heads down with their eyes closed, so I did the same. "Thank you for putting this food on our plates, Lord, and thank you for sending Prophet Martin to lead us to salvation. Without him, we would be lost sheep in the dark, without a hand to guide us. Take our lives instead of his and protect him, O Lord." Now, this last sentence was repeated by all three family members in unison, and then they started eating. Obviously, the first part of it was okay, but I started to get a little freaked the fuck out by this prayer, but I decided to not give it a second thought. "You said you usually eat frugally, so what do you guys usually eat?" I asked, putting a piece of chicken into my mouth. "Well, that depends," the father said, not looking up from his plate. "Food is expensive these days, and we try to cut back on other expenses, so that we can give money to the prophet." Okay, I was a little shocked, but also appalled at his statement. I looked at Catherine, a little confused. "That's right," the mom interjected. "We give 20% of our income to the prophet." Okay, now I was speechless. The family must have noticed my dumbfounded reaction, so the father decided to jump in and change the topic. "Are you religious, Henry?" I was still a little shocked at the previous statement, so all I could do was open my mouth dumbly. I'm not, actually. I mean, I was never baptized or anything, but I'm not an atheist. I don't have a religion, I guess. "Well, sweetie, maybe you can join us in our church meetup this Sunday," the mom happily suggested. I don't know. "I think that's a great idea, now that you mention it, honey," the father said. "We don't expect to convert you to our religion or anything like that. We just want you to see what it is we do. What do you say, Henry? Are you in?" I looked over to Catherine, who gave me a reassuring smile. That smile I could never say no to. Sure, Yeah, why not? Why not? That sounds good. Needless to say, I was not very happy about going to a church, especially not one like the Followers. But in the end, I tried to be positive about it, and I wanted Catherine's parents to like me. The meetup was Sunday evening. Again, this raised some flags to me, in a building around 10 minutes away. When we arrived there, I was expecting some kind of sign on the building, or at least a cross, but it was just a plain building which resembled a warehouse more than a church. Two large men in suits were waiting on either side of the door, and opened them for each attendee, saying, "Praise the Prophet," with a smile. Their smiles didn't seem genuine, though. Were they guards, and their job was to keep order of the place? I shook it off and proceeded to go inside. The interior, however, was set up like a cathedral, with rows of seats and a stage at the far end. There were already dozens of people seated, mostly families, and this put me at ease a little bit. Catherine, her parents, and I took a seat at the far end of the bench. "What do I need to do?" I asked Catherine, who just told me to follow what everyone else was doing. "Attention! Attention, everyone!" A short man in a black gown appeared on the podium after around 10 minutes. "Prophet Martin has arrived." Everyone in the room stood up in unison and raised one hand, putting the other on their chest, bowing their heads. I quickly stood up and did the same, raising my head slightly in order to see what the fuss was about. A slim man in his 40s walked onto the stage. He was wearing a blue suit with a tie, and his hair was neatly combed. He had a genuinely kind look on his face. I can't totally describe it, but there was some kind of charm radiating off of him even before he spoke. "My children," he spread his arms, speaking with an authoritative yet kind tone. "I am pleased to see you in such large numbers here today. God is happy to have you here." He motioned with his hand then for everyone to sit. I looked around and saw that everyone had an expression of bliss on their face. One middle-aged woman was muttering something like, "Bless you, Prophet. Having you all here fills me with joy beyond explanation," Martin continued. "No matter how difficult your hardships out there are, you will have earned your place with me next to God if you follow the instructions provided by me. Instructions that were gifted unto me by God himself. Cast away your alignments from the inhospitable outside world now, because with the word of God, I will heal you." "Praise the Prophet! Praise God!" everyone chanted in unison 3 times. Martin then put his hands together in a prayer, as Amazing Grace started playing from a source I couldn't locate. As soon as the music started, I was filled with a sense of tranquility which I had never experienced before. The next 20 minutes or so were spent singing and quoting certain things from the scriptures, and despite barely understanding anything, I immensely enjoyed the whole experience. And then Martin continued speaking. "I did not ask for this life. I was never a leader. But this was God's plan. He said unto me, 'Martin, I demand that you save this flock, whether they want to be saved or not, by any means necessary. I do not ask of you to do what I say.'" He then placed his hand on his chest. "I ask that you do what God asks of you. You have all been blessed with God's gift of knowledge, knowledge of being in our community, which will lead you to salvation. There is no greater reward than to sit beside God in his kingdom." A man then walked onto the stage and gave Martin a piece of paper before disappearing again. "As such, there is no greater punishment for casting away his gift. Those who have been blessed like us and then renounce it will suffer a fate worse than hell." There was a long pause before he continued. "As you already may know, we've had many children leaving our sacred community in the past few weeks. I do not wish to punish the parents for the mistake of the seed, but rather give a warning to everyone. If you see your beloved ones straying, attempt to save them. If they are beyond redemption, then abandon them. Do not let your worldly love for your family members drag you down to damnation with them. God is forgiving, but even he has his limits." Martin then raised his hands and everyone stood up again. There was a prayer similar to the one at Catherine's dinner table, and then the prophet continued. Now the time has come to bid each other farewell. Offer your tribute, or if God wills it, I will choose it for you. A morbid silence on the entire room, which seemed... A morbid silence fell on the entire room, which seemed to last for a long time. I looked at Kat, only to see her head was down. Everyone was shuffling uncomfortably in their seats, looking around. Anyone? Martin said. There was a commotion for a few seconds, and then one young girl, no older than 16, stepped forward. She timidly approached the prophet, who welcomed her on stage with a reassuring smile. What is your name, child? He asked. Helena, the girl responded, looking down at her shoes. Helena, Martin repeated, gently pulling her head up by the chin. What we do here is God's work. You understand that, right? Yes, Prophet Martin, the girl responded. The prophet then turned to the people and said, It was a blessing having you all here today. Go now in peace and continue to do God's righteous work. Everyone then stood up and lined up in front of the stage. Martin greeted everyone by hugging them and saying something which I couldn't hear. I wasn't really happy about hugging this guy, but decided to suck it up. When the time came for me to be greeted by Martin, he looked at me, stunned for a moment, but in a good way, and then smiled. Welcome, child. Thank you for coming here. He shook my hand, not too firmly and not too softly. I squeezed harder and gave him a stern look. I was determined to let him know that he can't sway me with his words. Then he leaned in, unaffected by my apparent hostility, and whispered, We are really happy to have you here today. I then tried to pull my hand away gently, but he held it. Do come again next week, he said with a somewhat different, more sinister tone, as he finally let go of my hand and took a step back, still smiling. I nodded, and right after moving away, he enthusiastically greeted Catherine. Thank you for coming today. Bless the prophet, one of the guards said to me on our way out. After a few minutes of small talking with Catherine's acquaintances in the parking lot, we decided to go get dinner, so we parted from her parents and entered my car. I saw one particularly luxurious car driving away from the parking lot. Wow, that's a really nice car, I commented. That's Martin's, Catherine responded. Oh, well, he must be really rich from all the donations then. And Kat didn't like that I said that. We drove off in silence. What was that? I asked her while we were driving down the road. That whole tribute thing? Oh, she looked uncomfortable now. Every week, Martin chooses one girl to lay with that night. I laughed, and then I saw that she wasn't joking around. I was so shocked that I almost ran the red light. Wait, wait, you're joking, right? And she just kept staring at me. Catherine? It's God's will, Henry. Martin, he doesn't want to do it, but it's God's will. Catherine, are you fucking kidding me? Are you seriously shitting me right now? This was the first time I snapped at her. Stop it. He fucks underage girls? Why the fuck are her parents allowing this? Henry, it's God's will. That's pedophilia, Catherine, and you can't convince me that it's God's plan. What the fuck is wrong with you? I can go with the high taxes and the ridiculous rules of worshiping some asshole, but for fuck's sake. Stop it, Henry. The scripture said it should be this way. Oh, the scriptures he wrote himself, right? That's bullshit. I know you don't understand, Henry, and I don't expect you to on the first night, but this is the holy... Did he ever sleep with you? I interrupted her. She gave me a stern look before opening the door and storming out of the car. Cat, goddammit, wait. But she didn't listen. The cars behind me were already honking, so I had to go. I haven't spoken to Kat for 2 days since then, but in the end, we reconciled. I apologized to her and told her that I understood her side, but in reality, I had a different plan. I wanted to go to another meetup of this cult and capture some evidence, if possible. I wanted nothing more than to tell Catherine that her so-called prophet was nothing more than a fake, but maybe if I exposed him, she and everybody else would see him for what he really was, a predator. So instead of telling her the truth, I told her that I wanted to give Martin and his religion a chance to prove me wrong. Sunday then came, and we were led inside the building by the same two men in suits who smiled widely. I smiled back and took my seat. The same rituals ensued as Prophet Martin appeared on stage, same exact outfit as last time. After the singing and quoting of scriptures, Prophet Martin paused before saying, "Now, there are certain issues that we need to resolve here. I told you all last time that we've had heretics running away from the gift I bestowed on them. Not only that, but some of them even tried to go to the authorities, if you can believe that. This is God's house. The police have no authority here." A few murmurs were then heard throughout the room. "God is forgiving." Martin spread his arms then, as some large men brought in two children, a boy and a girl, on the stage, and forced them on their knees. "But I, the Prophet Martin, am not." "Michelle?" A man shouted from the crowd and stood up, and it was obvious that this was the girl's father. "Michelle, what did you do?" "She ran, Arthur. She ran, just like Sweet Jerry here." I could see more people standing up now, visibly panicking. "Michelle, why?" the father cried. "Dad, I'm sorry," the girl spoke out, finally. "It was me, Arthur. I helped her escape." A woman crying, apparently Michelle's mother, then shouted out loud. No one said anything then for a few seconds. I looked around and saw that everyone's focus was on the stage. With shaky hands, I pulled out my phone and dialed 911. Turning it towards the floor and hoping that dispatch would understand the severity of the situation and send help immediately. "You saw what he does to the other girls. I will not let him use our daughter like he used the other poor girls because of your sick beliefs," the woman continued. She was angry now. "You went against the prophet behind my back?" The father then turned to the prophet. "Prophet Martin, I beg you to absolve me. I had nothing to do with this. I beg you." Prophet Martin stretched out his hand with his palm upward. "Parents of the sinful seed, please step forward." Reluctantly, the four parents climbed on the stage and stopped in front of Martin, visibly distressed and shaking. I glanced at my phone and saw that the call was ongoing, but couldn't speak into it out of fear of being seen by another cult member. One of the men who held the kids down took out a knife and gave it to the prophet. At this sight, the mother started weeping more hysterically. "Come on, come on," I kept thinking as this whole thing was unfolding and my heart threatening to jump out of my chest. "You can still save yourselves. It's too late for your children, but there is still time to save yourselves," Martin said. "Prophet, please, we can still save them. They are our children," Arthur was pleading now. "Oh no, my child, they failed you. They failed God." Martin then put his hand on Arthur's shoulder, offering the knife to him. "Only death can redeem them of their sins, and your own. I love you dearly, like a brother, Arthur, and I don't want to do this. But I want you to be in heaven beside me, and God himself. Don't you want that for yourself, Arthur?" He then nudged the knife towards him, with a stern look on his face. Arthur looked down to the weapon and started crying harder, while Martin stood unshaken, never blinking and never moving his gaze away. I'm sorry, Prophet, I can't. Forgive me, please." Then, slowly but deliberately, Martin lowered his knife and nodded. "I forgive you," he said, and then plunged the knife so quickly into Arthur's neck that it took me a moment to process that it even happened. "I forgive you, my child." Martin then plunged the knife into his neck again. And again, there were screams, and Arthur and the floor beneath him were already covered in blood by the time his dying body fell down on the floor. More guards rushed in to restrain the remaining parents. "I forgive you all," Martin cried, stabbing the now lifeless body over and over. Arthur's wife was crying hysterically, fighting against the guards' restraints. The other parents were on their knees now, one praying and the other begging Martin not to punish them. "There is nothing more disgusting than weakness," Martin said as he wiped the bloodstained blade on Arthur's now motionless body and slowly stood up, returning the knife to the guard, ignoring the pleading parents. "Get these weak sinners out of my sight. More guards rushed in and ushered the parents and children out of the room, and Martin continued, "You all know that God is just, but also demanding. You obey him, and you receive the ultimate reward. But if you refuse, this is the outcome. God does not tolerate betrayal." Martin then looked in my direction, and my blood ran cold from his piercing gaze. I looked down on my phone, and then I felt a firm grip on both of my arms, and I was tackled on the ground before I even realized what was going on. "Get the fuck off me," I yelled as my phone was pulled from my grasp. "Aha! We have a snake in the garden. Bring him here," Martin said, and the two guards from the door took me to the stage as the onlookers cussed at me. I was then forced on my knees in front of Martin, who knelt down so that he was inches away from my face. "He was calling the police, Prophet. He was dialing 911, one of the guards said, covering the phone speaker with his hand. "Thank you, Robert. God will reward you." Martin sighed as his gaze was fixed on me. "End the call and give him back his phone." By now, I was scared more than I've ever been in my life. This psycho just killed a devoted member of his cult in cold blood, so I could only speculate what he was going to do to the likes of me. "Well, I understand your anger, child," he spoke with false compassion in his voice. "I cannot forgive you just yet, but one day when you return to me, I will." "Go fuck yourself, Martin," I said out loud, and the whole chapel was stunned. I figured he was going to kill me anyways, and pleading wouldn't change anything, so I decided to just go all in. Fuck this asshole. The prophet then leaned in and put one hand on my shoulder as he whispered into my ear, "In 2 years, on this exact day, you will lose a loved one, and when you do, I will welcome you back and absolve you of your sins. God has a plan for you, Henry." "You're going to let me go?" I calmed down. "What makes you think I won't go to the police?" "Then do so." The prophet leaned back and smiled. "You cannot harm us. We are God's children." He then stood up, and I realized that he was actually giving me a pass. The guard gave me back my phone and helped me up. I turned around and started towards the exit. Everyone in the room was judging me silently, everyone including Catherine. I thought about screaming at them, demanding to know how they can support this violence and indiscriminate murder. But I knew it would be in vain anyways. Martin had very devout, very committed followers, and nothing can change their minds. Not even me screaming and throwing a tantrum on my way out of the building. I opened the door and looked back one more time. Everyone was still staring at me. I glanced at Catherine, only to see her face devoid of any emotions or expressions. I'll never forget that look. It's as if all her love for me had vanished in an instant. I stepped outside and closed the door behind me. I beelined it out of there and straight to my car and straight to the police. They didn't believe me at first, but when I finally convinced them that there are people in danger, they went to the address I gave them. They later told me that there was a religious meeting in the building, but that nothing was out of the ordinary. Even Arthur's family was there, and they confirmed that Arthur himself was on a business trip. When I insisted that Arthur was killed by the prophet, they threatened to have me detained if I continued to cause trouble, so I just dropped it. That was the first and the last time I tried to expose the followers of Prophet Martin. I never contacted Catherine again. I was about to send her a goodbye message and delete her from all my social media, but she actually blocked me before I had the chance to do so. I never saw her at work either, and never even dared to ask around. Not long after that, I met a different girl, and we got engaged eventually. 2 years after the followers incident, on that exact date, she died unexpectedly in a car crash. And I didn't forget about Prophet Martin's warning, no. I just thought he was a nutcase and didn't bother paying too much attention to it. In the end, my fiancé was killed by a speeding driver. The perpetrator wasn't even drunk or anything, and the witnesses say he just started speeding up all of a sudden. Needless to say, I was devastated. I spent a long time grieving and even contemplated suicide. And then one day, I ran into a person who was handing out flyers. The paper had a picture of a very familiar face on it, and you guessed it, Mr. Martin. Underneath the picture, it said, "The Followers of Prophet Martin, meetings every Sunday at 9 p.m. And I smiled at the irony. The same two guards from 2 years ago opened the door and welcomed me with warm smiles. They couldn't have forgotten me, right? Regardless, I smiled back and entered. I heard that same song from 2 years ago, Amazing Grace, and I was instantly filled with some sort of euphoria once again. Everyone in the room turned to me, but not with the judgmental looks this time, but rather welcoming smiles. Prophet Martin was on stage, facing me. Then he motioned for me to come on stage, and when I did, he embraced me and whispered, "Welcome home, my son." And I'm happy to announce that I am in God's house now and am finally saved.